7:19 at AM 930 WEOL. Maybe a misfortune that I'm actually playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer here.
Why?
Well, we've got an outdoorsman out there, and sometimes if there's things with antlers moving in the woods, well, you know, they end up on a wall or someplace, or hanging somewhere. Good morning, Bill. We've got Bill Heavey joining us this morning. He's the author of a new book called Good Morning. Should the Tent Be Burning Like That? A Professional Amateur's Guide to the Outdoors. What keeps you writing these books, by the way?
Hunger is a big motivator.
Okay. If you can't capture it, you can talk about it and share.
If you can't capture it, you can talk about it, and you know, I figure I'm sort of the ambassador to all the guys who are not really skilled at outdoor stuff. Guys who have more enthusiasm than skill.
Do you enjoy being outdoors? Is this fun for you?
Oh yeah. Oh, I love being outdoors.
Now, when you're writing, are you indoors writing or do you write outdoors? Do you get involved? You know.
No. I have to write indoors, I'll confess.
Well, this is a book, a look at the most bizarre adventures of America's favorite outdoorsmen, among the do's and don'ts when exploring the wilderness. What do you have for our first-time adventurers? I'm not much of an outdoors person, so give me some tips to get me in the right direction, perhaps.
To get you in the right direction, to get outdoors, it starts with good shoes are really important. I think if your feet are not happy, you are not going to be happy. And I actually have a pair of shoes that I've found that are presentable dress shoes that I can also use, you know, to walk around the woods. And I'm not really good at parties sometimes. I run out of cocktail chatter. And more than once, I have left an awkward party over the back fence to go follow a deer trail. And if you have the right shoes, you can do that.
Again, we're talking this morning to Bill Heavey. The book is called Should the Tent Be Burning Like That? A Professional Amateur's Guide to the Outdoors. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening in this book. Can you share one of your adventures with us?
Sure. Actually, one of the stories that a number of people have asked me about is I was up in Wyoming, and I was going on a trout fishing trip in the Wind River Mountains, and we were going to be on horseback for 5 hours riding up into the mountains, and the guide got us together and said, make sure your jeans fit right, because otherwise you can really chafe your legs. And I've ridden a fair amount, but it had been a while, and I said, "What, you know, what, when you say right, what does that mean? You know, too tight, too loose?" And he goes, I'll make it easy for you. Go to the dollar store and buy yourself a pair of pantyhose, and then your jeans will just slip over that, and you won't, you know, you won't rub your skin raw. And he said, in fact, we tell so many guys to do that we call them mantyhose. So I walk into a dollar store in Laramie, Wyoming, and order a pair of extra large taupe non-control top pantyhose. And I do this in sort of a loud voice because I don't want to have to say it twice. And they were, it was a lifesaver. It was great.
Yeah, but then when you got to go, tell me about that. I mean, that to me seems like an extra effort when you've got all that extra layers.
You know, it's just like wearing, it's just like having long underwear on, you know.
Uh-huh. Why did you?
Men seem to manage it quite easily.
Why did you go with taupe? I would have, you know, it would have taken me a while to figure
out. Well, because the choices were nude or taupe. And I don't know, just when the woman said the word nude to me in Laramie, Wyoming, I went taupe.
Good choice. Very, very good. Sometimes hearing it coming out your own mouth just doesn't seem right, I suppose.
So yeah, and sometimes, you know, yeah.
Bill, has there ever been a time when you've been out and about and you suddenly discover that you don't know where you are?
Oh, yeah. That has happened to me numerous times. And that is pretty scary. a lot of guys will say, well, I wasn't really lost, but I was turned around some. And I've been lost. And it's really disorienting. You don't realize how deeply human beings depend on knowing where we are physically located until you lose that. And it actually, there's a scientific term for it. It's called wood shock, because you go into it, it's like a form of mild shock. And it's pretty scary.
How do you get your family involved with what you do? Or how do they speak your same language?
No, I am like a genetic mutation in my family. Nobody in my family hunted or fished. And I got into fishing at a summer camp in North Carolina. And I just got obsessed watching that little red bobber float in the water, convinced that there was a huge fish down there with my name on it. And that eventually led to hunting, which is kind of the same obsessive compulsive disorder, moved one track over. I don't know, they just really spoke to me.
I like you have a chapter called If Hunters Ruled the World, and one of them is number 4. Taxidermy would be a required course in elementary schools. I will tell you, I went to a science fair at a middle school, and the local taxidermy was there showing some things related
really?
To that, and it was fascinating. And that's where I discovered that the fish that people have on their wall is not really their fish. And then there's these forms that the deer skin goes on to make, and so there's a. It kind of ruined my whole, I don't know, romanticism of those types of things. But I guess you can't really.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I'm actually not that big on taxidermy myself, but you know, I certainly know plenty of people who are.
Right.
Well, but taxidermy's been around for, you know, since the Middle Ages in one form or another.
Sure. Now, we've heard of the big fish story. Does Photoshop ever enter into people's descriptions of what they've caught? And how do you believe everything?
No, you can't. Look, here's the rule of thumb. If a fisherman is moving his lips, he's lying. If you kind of hang on to that, it makes things easier. And there are techniques for holding up your fish so that you're holding it closer to the camera, but you don't really see the guy's arm. So suddenly he's got a bluegill that looks like it's 3 feet long. You know, if you see a bluegill that's 3 feet long, you know something's off.
Right. A lot of times in people's books, they have other people commenting on things related to them. And here, when the Wall Street Journal says you're like Irma Bombeck in camo, but the fact that you've got Ted Nugent commenting that says, Bill Heavey is my favorite writer. When I die, I want him to gut me, stuff me, and deliver my eulogy for one good laugh. That's inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, the Wall Street Journal and Ted Nugent are not two names you often hear in the same sentence. But,
right.
I guess that's part of my just incredibly broad appeal, right?
Sure. Well, I suppose if you're in a tree stand, you could bring a Wall Street Journal to read in the tree stand, or have listened to some Cat Scratch Fever on your iPod, I suppose. What do you do out in the wilderness to keep yourself, I don't know, focused on what's out there?
You know, it's interesting. When you sort of settle into the woods, when you first go into the woods, you create this disturbance that ripples all through the woods. And then if you're sitting in a tree stand, for example, after about 15, 20 minutes, the woods start to quiet down. And you start hearing the disturbance that other things make. And you sort of become, you know, part of the woods. And, you know, you'll hear birds or squirrels chattering. That means something is approaching. And sometimes it's a deer. So if you're paying attention, everything kind of connects. And you know, it's this kind of meditation almost.
You get to the point where you can actually hear a leaf falling out of a tree, being released by the tree.
Well, you could, you know, not that you can hear it, but you become sort of part of the fabric of the woods. You know, when you first go in, there's a ripple effect of disturbance among the animals that are there. You know, everything's going, oh, here's an intruder or whatever. And then after you're there, you kind of settle in, then you become one of the things that's alerted when another intruder comes in. And, you know, maybe it's a dog, maybe it's a person, maybe it's a deer, maybe it's, you know, whatever. But that process of getting kind of absorbed into the woods is really sort of restorative. You know, I think there's a part of us that all, you know, I think everybody craves a kind of connection to nature, and we, and people find it in different ways. And, you know, bird watching or hiking or hunting or fishing or whatever. But, you know, in the end, I think we're all kind of chasing one form of the same thing by, you know, just different channels.
The book is called Should the Tent Be Burning Like That? I suppose the answer is probably no. A Professional Amateur's Guide to the Outdoors. Bill Heavey, our guest this morning. Bill, thanks for sharing some stories with us. Appreciate it. And good luck on your next hunting.
My pleasure.
Thanks.